This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
The danger escalates. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Tuesday, November 17. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
More governors have announced crackdowns designed to slow the spread of the coronavirus, which is reportedly at its most dangerous point to date.
Moderna has become the second drug maker to announce significant progress on a vaccine. We'll have analysis.
Officials conducting a recount of presidential votes in Georgia found 2,600 previously uncounted ballots.
And the surprising number of Americans who may be leaving valuable money on the table each month.
Well, despite a year of record low mortgage rates that unleashed a refinancing bonanza, 8 in 10 homeowners with a mortgage have not refinanced. And a big part of that is 27% of mortgage holders don't even know the rate that they're paying.
Greg McBride at Bankrate.com on the reasons why so many homeowners have not refinanced their mortgages. Governors across the country are citing health data showing the coronavirus pandemic reaching its most dangerous point yet, threatening to overwhelm hospitals and kill thousands more Americans in the coming weeks. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds says indoor gatherings must be limited to 15 people, bars and restaurants to close at 10.
If Iowans don't buy into this, we lose. Businesses will close once again. More schools will be forced to go online, and our healthcare system will fail. And the cost in human life will be high.
In Philadelphia, the nation's sixth most populous city, a new rule bans indoor gatherings of any size in any location, public or private, unless you live together. A Reuters count finds that more than 70,000 Americans were hospitalized for treatment of COVID-19 as of yesterday, the most ever at any time since the pandemic began. Meanwhile, stocks shot higher yesterday on news from Moderna that its experimental COVID vaccine is 94.5% effective. The Dow and S&P 500 both set record highs, partly on that news. President-elect Joe Biden says more people may die from the coronavirus if delays continue for his presidential transition. Asked about the biggest threat to the transition, Mr. Biden said the lack of a designation from the General Services Administration could get in the way of the federal government response to the pandemic. Mr. Biden's team has been pressing the GSA, which hasn't officially acknowledged Mr. Biden's electoral victory over President Trump.
They say they have this Warp Speed program that not only dealt with getting vaccines, but also how to distribute this. If we have to wait until January 20th to start that planning, it puts us behind over a month, month and a half.
Separately, Mr. Trump's national security advisor, Robert O'Brien, regarding Mr. Biden as the next president, said, quote, obviously things look like that now. Mr. Trump tweeted Sunday that Mr. Biden, quote, won because the election was rigged, but later tweeted that he was not conceding. More than 2,600 votes have reportedly been uncovered in Georgia during its recount process that were not previously included in the state's overall tally of ballots in the presidential election. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution says the ballots were uncovered in Floyd County. Georgia's Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger blamed the problem on Floyd County election officials failing to upload votes from a memory card in a ballot scanning machine. The Floyd County Republican Party chair said, quote, it doesn't appear to be a widespread issue. Separately, Gabriel Sterling, statewide voting implementation manager, called out those that he said were undermining the process.
Those people out there undermining this thing through, you know, crazy over-the-top claims on cable news. If you have evidence, call us and let us investigate.
Meanwhile, President Trump's campaign yesterday dropped its request in a Pennsylvania lawsuit that hundreds of thousands of mail-in and absentee ballots be thrown out because they were processed without its representatives able to watch. 10 minutes now after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/sbblackfriday.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, see how we can help at planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Hey, thanks for joining us. Welcome into Tuesday. The pharmaceutical company Moderna says its experimental coronavirus vaccine was nearly 95% effective in a pivotal study, adding to hopes that an inoculation for the deadly virus could be available soon. Here with in-depth analysis is Dr. Dean Finelli, partner in the intellectual property department of the law firm Seyfarth Shaw in Washington, D.C. He has over 20 years of experience in pharmaceutical and biotechnology management. Dean, your initial reaction?
This is certainly exciting news. We had the news from Pfizer last week, followed up by Moderna's positive news. So the questions I have, and I think what most scientists want to know, these are preliminary data, how long will this immunity last? Will it be the type of thing where people have to go back each year to get a coronavirus vaccination similar to the flu? Will this provide longer immunity? Will this provide immunity and prevent transmission as well as preventing people from getting the virus? So, you know, all real positive news, still questions to answer, but I think people have a lot to be optimistic about.
Right, and that question about immunity, that's not something we'll even know probably as we're rolling up our sleeve to get that first vaccine dose.
That's right. And, you know, there's only so much information you can gather, and time will tell. You know, these subjects that were in these phase three trials for each of Pfizer and Moderna, they'll be followed for the next couple years and monitor to see, you know, how long these antibodies last and how any, of course, potential side effects. But the safety protocol or the safety profile and the efficacy so far look very promising for each of these most advanced candidates.
I mean, it's 94.5% for Moderna. That's way beyond what the FDA was even going to make permissible, right?
That's right. So over the summer, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration came out with guidelines, and they were looking for at least 50%. Now, coming up with 94%, that's, you know, you almost can't get much better than that. So, and to put that in perspective, you know, this is efficacy in a controlled trial. Now, it's likely once this is put out to the general public, the effectiveness will go down a little bit, and that's why it's so important that these initial the trial efficacy data is so positive, because if it goes down a little bit, you know, we're still at a hopefully a very high threshold to meet that what's known as and what we've heard of this herd immunity.
We're speaking with Dr. Dean Finelli. He's a partner in the intellectual property department of the law firm Seyfarth Shaw in Washington, D.C. He specializes in pharmaceutical tech, and we're talking about this new vaccine news from Moderna, in which they said their COVID vaccine has a 94.5% effective rate. Since there will be, I guess at this point, at least two vaccines coming out, does that change priorities in the U.S. about who will get vaccinated first?
So I don't think it'll change priorities. I mean, obviously, if you can imagine, the CDC and the other agencies in the government have been preparing this. They've been coming up with prioritization lists. And as you can imagine, healthcare workers, essential personnel are at the top of that list, followed by elderly and people in those highest risk categories. So it's going to take multiple shots on goal. We can't do this with one vaccine. You know, we're going to need multiple vaccines. The fact that Moderna is coming in so high is just going to get us through this that much quicker. So I think the prioritization will remain the same, but we'll just get to that point where we're administering to the general public sooner rather than later. And I'd expect that to be at some point, ideally, hopefully Q1, end of Q1, beginning of Q2 of 2021.
All right. For somebody like yourself who kind of specializes in this stuff, will you be ready when it's time to get vaccinated? Will you go?
I absolutely will go. I mean, I think I'm hoping as people see other people going, you know, I think we're a little behind schedule. I would have liked to have seen some educational campaign or marketing campaign describing this to people. But nonetheless, I will definitely get it when it's out there.
What about legal concerns that companies like Moderna or Pfizer may have at this point?
So we're obviously in a pandemic situation, and under the PREP Act, which is the Pandemic Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act, pharmaceutical companies, diagnostic companies, anyone that's developing countermeasures to the virus, which would be a vaccine or a therapeutic or a diagnostic, they would have immunity from liability unless they did something so egregious that was, you know, just basically willful misconduct or even fraud. And, you know, these are some of the best, most highly ethical companies in the world. So I don't foresee that.
Thanks, Doctor. Dr. Dean Finelli with the law firm Seyfarth Shaw in Washington. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Governors from New Jersey, California, Iowa, and Ohio are acting to restrict gatherings and boost face coverings in confronting a coronavirus surge they warn is out of control. Each of the four governors, representing both ends of the political divide and a mix of urban and rural regions, cited health data showing the pandemic reaching its most perilous point yet, threatening to overwhelm hospitals and claim thousands more lives in the weeks ahead. Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds reversed her position on masks.
This isn't about mandates. This isn't about government. There isn't enough law enforcement in the country to make sure that every Iowan is wearing a mask when they should.
Number two.
A hearing on the Trump campaign's federal lawsuit seeking to prevent Pennsylvania officials from certifying the vote results remains on track for today after a judge denied the campaign's new lawyer's request for a delay. After Pittsburgh lawyers dropped out of representing Trump's campaign on Friday, three others withdrew yesterday. A new lawyer from Camp Hill, Pennsylvania, notified the judge he was stepping in but did not get the delay he sought.
Number three.
President Trump's expected to cut a significant number of U.S. troops in Afghanistan and a smaller number in Iraq by the final days of his presidency. The decision comes days after Trump installed a new slate of loyalists in top Pentagon positions who share his frustration with the continued troop presence in war zones. The year's most powerful hurricane slammed into northeastern Nicaragua last night, just miles from where an earlier Category 4 storm hit the region less than 2 weeks ago. Hurricane Iota made landfall with sustained winds near 155 miles an hour, bringing a life-threatening storm surge, catastrophic winds, flash floods, and mudslides. Iota, the strongest hurricane formed in November since records began in 1851. Hate crimes rose to their highest number in a decade, with a record-breaking 51 fatal attacks. The FBI's hate crimes report for 2019 shows that the overall increase was not quite 3%, but the offenses were more violent than in previous years. If we do make it to March Madness, it will all happen in one geographic region. The NCAA says it's in talks with Indianapolis to serve as the host city for the entire men's basketball tournament. No immediate word on the women's tournament.
Man. All right. Thank you, Jen. If you're looking for a special gift for someone this holiday season, something truly unique, I've got a great idea. An original hand-painted portrait from PaintYourLife.com. At PaintYourLife.com, you can send any photo or combination of photos, and a world-class artist will transform them into a beautiful portrait at a truly affordable price. I recently had a portrait of our kids done. It's incredible. Now hangs prominently above the fireplace in our den. Taking less than 5 minutes, the order process was a breeze, and our painting arrived in about 3 weeks, packed and handled as if it were the most delicate item ever shipped. At PaintYourLife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded. And right now, as a limited-time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word DEAL to 64,000. That's DEAL to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Text DEAL to 64,000 for PaintYourLife.com.
The top national stories with the context to make sense of it all. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon DEAL.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Tuesday, November 17. Gordon DEAL, Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. New restrictions on indoor gatherings announced by governors coast to coast. because of COVID spikes. The Dow and S&P 500 set record highs, partly on vaccine news from Moderna. Tesla will join the S&P next month. 2,600 previously uncounted ballots found in Floyd County, Georgia. Military officials say the U.S. is making plans to withdraw troops from Iraq and Afghanistan. Vikings over the Bears in Monday Night Football. And the lost Texas boy returned home by a good Samaritan. That story in about 20 minutes. For House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, her final years with the gavel may also prove the most challenging. The California Democrat is poised to enter the next Congress with a historically thin House majority, one in which the progressive and centrist factions are already bashing each other publicly. It's a story by Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. Mike, what's with the infighting?
Oh, it took no time at all for this to begin. It was quite amazing how quickly it started, you know, and it wasn't a surprise because, of course, they went into November 3rd with enormously high expectations about how they would do on the House side and the Senate side this election cycle. You know, they had the fundraising advantage. They had tons of money. They were ahead in all these polls. They thought they had these wonderful candidates. And then, of course, those expectations were dashed by the results of the election. There was no blue wave. And in fact, Pelosi and the House Democrats are going to lose seats, which was almost unthinkable going in. And so now everybody's pointing fingers. Who's to blame? Was it the message? Was it the strategy? Were we in the wrong, spending money in the wrong districts? So just lots of finger pointing. And you heard very quickly the first call that they had all together. The moderates were really angry at the liberals for pushing this kind of far-left agenda that included things like defunding the police and banning fracking and the Green New Deal and Medicare for All and all the issues that are, you know, really excite the left. The liberals pushed back and said, hey, wait a minute, it was our energy, it was all those issues that got Democratic voters out to the polls, might in fact have won Joe Biden the White House. So there's all of this stuff happening in the background, and it really it's just because of the high expectations that they had, and they just, of course, did not meet them.
All right, so who is saying what? I know you referenced the New York City Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
That's right. She is getting attacked because of the message, because she's sort of the face of the not just defunding the police, because she's very quick to say, I don't want to defund the police. I want to move that money into community services that might be better suited for these types of situations. It's not all law enforcement. We just need more social services to take care of a lot of mental health issues and things like that. So it's a very nuanced debate. But her criticism, her pushback, was less about, hey, the liberals gave us this boost of energy. It was our candidates in some of these districts that were really tough were not using digital media well enough. And of course, she's this Twitter superstar. She's kind of cornered the market on digital media up here on the House Democratic side. And so she is speaking from experience. And she said her criticism was, I've been telling these Democrats all along, they need to be on Facebook more. They need to be on Twitter more. I can be a resource. And I have told them that I am here to for counsel, in other words. And so she's saying that they just didn't take her up on her offer to help out strategy-wise.
We're speaking with Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. His piece is called Pelosi Faces Caucus Divisions in Biden Era. All right, so speaking of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, will she return to that position of power?
She will return to that position of power. She made it no mystery going in that she wanted to stay another term, another 2 years. She's not going to have a challenger unless something very strange happens. No one expects her to be challenged head on. But, you know, she does have a math problem because there were 15 Democrats who voted 2 years ago on the House floor. This is the first vote of every new session. So every 2 years, the first vote on the House floor is to vote for the Speaker of the House. And usually what you just get whoever's in the majority party, they've already nominated their person behind closed doors before this floor vote, and so it's just kind of a rubber stamp. But of course, Pelosi has been there since 2003, and there's always been sort of this agitation that she's been there too long. 2 years ago, it really flared up, and while nobody challenged her, 15 Democrats voted against her on the floor. If 15 Democrats were to vote against her on the floor this time, she would not get the the Speaker's gavel just because they have lost seats. They've lost at least 9 seats with probably 2 or 3 more to come, and so the math is not good for her. Of those 15 no's, at least 10 of them are returning. She can't even lose those 10. So she's going to have to figure out a way to get the votes. She's going to have to give these, you know, promise these people something, committee. There's many ways she can do it. She can give them committee posts. She can promise to vote on legislation on the floor. Lots of ways she can get that done, and nobody thinks that she will be unsuccessful doing it, but it's sure going to be interesting to watch.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Lillis, congressional reporter at The Hill. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You can spend a lot of time on social media, right? So addictive and time-consuming. But don't you wish you were actually learning something? That's how I felt until I found Blinkist, the app for your phone, tablet, or browser that condenses the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books down to 15 minutes. I like Blinkist because I can listen to condensed books that look intriguing while commuting or running errands, like Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Blinkist is thought-provoking and time-saving all in one. Podcast, too. Join 15 million others broadening their knowledge with Blinkist. Right now, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/morning to start your free 7-day trial and get 25% off a Blinkist premium membership. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/morning to get 25% off and a 7-day free trial. Blinkist.com/morning. Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into a Tuesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with This Morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you'd think that among the many cool things about being Dwayne The Rock Johnson, driving cool sports cars would be near the top of that list. Not only does Johnson get paid to drive high-performance cars in many of his movies, he can also afford to buy pretty much anything on four wheels he wants to use to cruise around town. There's just one problem, though. He's apparently too big to fit. This conundrum was put on full display on The Rock's Instagram page this week. Johnson posted a pic of him on a movie set perched on the outside of a Porsche Taycan electric midsize sports sedan that was to be used for a key chase sequence. But when the 6'5", 260-pound former wrestler tried to get behind the wheel, he couldn't squeeze in, describing the scene as a big brown marshmallow getting shoved into a coin slot. Fortunately, after some nervous moments and some laughs on the set, the director was able to get creative and find a way to get the shot. This isn't the first time that Johnson's had trouble squeezing behind the wheel of a sports car on set, with his large frame previously foiling Ferrari and GTA shots on the HBO show Ballers.
That's funny.
So something they don't apparently check for, though, at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, this has happened, and, you know, and he didn't, I maybe didn't think to say anything either. Maybe he thought they, you know, it was already been discussed or figured out in the mean, you know, in advance of him getting there to the set. Apparently not.
Well, I, you know, this is, he's not the first guy, obviously, with this issue. Wasn't it the Big Show from professional wrestling? Like, they had to take, took the front seat out and put the front seat in the back seat so the guy could fit into a car. I mean, he's at 7 feet. 450, something like that, at his height of wrestling fame.
Right. You know, yes, but, you know, again, you're shooting a movie, you know, millions and millions of dollars in budget, everybody waiting for the shot, and you would think maybe you would have taken some measurements of the car that you're going to have The Rock trying to squeeze into.
Maybe a car the size of a Honda Civic is not appropriate for a guy 6'5", 260.
This is why he drives an F-150, I'm pretty sure.
Right. NFL and NBA players, I mean, this is not overly big for them, 6'5", 260, right? It's an issue,
They're driving truck sales all over the country. And if you're looking for creative ways to put on even more pounds as the pandemic drags on, Cinnabon is trying to make it impossibly easy for you. The sweet-smelling mall shop is selling its signature cream cheese frosting by the pint for the first time. The topping, which is typically drizzled on the chain's line of cinnamon rolls, is now being sold separately for $5.99 at its 900 U.S. locations and through food delivery apps. Now, it doesn't appear that the company is encouraging you necessarily to eat the topping straight out of the pint, as a press release from the company touts it as an accompaniment to holiday cooking, baking, and movie watching. But of course, once the pint is in your possession, you can proceed how you see fit.
Oh man, I haven't done it with Cinnabon, but I've done it, I think, with like the Duncan Hines, cupcake icing or cake icing.
Yes.
Right out of the container.
Yes.
Oh, by the spoonful, for sure.
A couple of finger indentations.
A couple? No, spoon.
Whole hand? Okay.
Spoonfuls.
Large spoon, I say.
With coffee, it pairs very nicely. Oh, man.
You always have a good pairing.
Yeah.
You always know what to pair it with.
Love that icing. Thanks, Mike. It is 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When it comes to mobility, Michigan is making what the rest of the world hasn't even thought of yet. Our state is home to two world-class autonomous vehicle testing sites, and we're first in the U.S. for mobility-related patents. With over 500 miles of roadway equipped for connected vehicle testing, it's no wonder that everyone is moving to where it all started. So if you're ready to move into the future with your mobility business, visit planetm.com/pure-opportunity.
Dell Technologies just announced their Black Friday sale, releasing new doorbusters every weekday, plus up to 50% off cutting-edge tech for your business. There's no better time to upgrade your small business with the latest laptops and desktops with Intel Core processors. Plus, there's free shipping on everything. Give Dell Technologies advisors a call. They'll identify the right tech solution for your business. Call 877-ASK-DELL or go to dell.com/sbblackfriday. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. For almost all of this year, traditional holiday celebrations have been altered, right, due to the ongoing coronavirus pandemic, some of them canceled. While many hope to be able to return to somewhat normal Thanksgiving and Christmas celebrations, recent spikes in COVID-19 cases have officials warning against large gatherings. Based on a recent study, though, by researchers at Ohio State, about 40% of us may still plan on attending these sorts of events. In addition, about 38% still plan on attending gatherings with more than 10 people. And about a third of the respondents said they will not be requiring people to wear masks. Fox News previously reported that experts recommended that anyone planning on visiting family members during Thanksgiving should have started their self-quarantines last Thursday. Otherwise, the CDC has warned against Thanksgiving celebrations that include anyone other than those living in your immediate household. The agency has also advised against any holiday travel and suggested that holiday gatherings be hosted outside if possible. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President-elect Biden is warning that delays to his presidential transition could hinder the federal government response to the pandemic.
Everyone on our call today and our Zoom today agreed that the sooner we have access to the administration's distribution plan, the sooner this transition would be smoothly moved forward.
Biden said he says he was encouraged by a meeting he had with business leaders, including the heads of GM and Microsoft. But he says if his team is forced to wait by the Trump administration until January 20th to begin planning the distribution of vaccines for the virus, it puts us behind over a month and a half.
Number two.
President Trump and his allies are venting their election frustrations at Georgia's Secretary of State, a Republican, over claims that mismanagement and fraud tainted the state's voting. Trump spent the weekend attacking Brad Raffensperger on social media. Gabriel Sterling is implementation manager in the Secretary of State's office.
Going on cable news and going on Twitter, that's not evidence. That's supposition. And you can't react to supposition. We have to just do our jobs.
Number three.
2,600 votes were uncovered in Georgia amid its recount process that weren't previously included in the state's overall tally. Sterling says that mishap, which netted Trump 800 votes, was the result of human error, not equipment issues. The potential addition would not change Georgia's outcome as Joe Biden leads by more than 13,000 votes. SpaceX's newly launched capsule with four astronauts has arrived at the International Space Station, their new home until spring. The Dragon capsule pulled up and docked late last night following a 27-hour completely automated flight from NASA's Kennedy Space Center. The link-up occurred 262 miles above Idaho. The three Americans and one Japanese astronaut will remain at the orbiting lab until the replacements arrive on another Dragon in April. Because bacon, Waffle House has teamed up with a Georgia brewer to concoct a new bacon-infused beer that delivers an aroma of breakfast meat. The aptly named Bacon and Kegs Beer, a red ale, has a malty character enhanced with salty, savory, and smoky bacon extract. It's said to pair well with breakfast foods, of course, or can be enjoyed as a standalone beer.
Man.
Not sure about that.
No, oh, that sounds
not
good.
Not for breakfast. Maybe later.
Scrambled eggs on the side. I am in.
Oh, all right.
Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. A Good Samaritan returned a 6-year-old boy to his family after he got off the bus at the wrong stop on his way home from his first day of in-person learning at his elementary school in Cypress, Texas. KHOU Television says Colton Franklin was supposed to meet his older brother, Gavin, at the bus stop
where the pair would walk home together, but Colton never showed. Arlene Lightfoot Franklin, Colton's mother, says she immediately thought Gavin might have been late to the bus stop and that the bus driver may have taken Colton back to campus. Not the case. After driving around looking for him, Mom received a notification from her Ring doorbell. A woman, identified as Kim, said she found Colton running frantically. Because it was Colton's first day back in the class, his teacher had placed a sticker with his address on his shirt. Kim put the address in her phone, found out she was about half a mile away from the boy's home. Shortly after, there was a happy reunion. Colton's mom called the Good Samaritan an angel. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.